The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Warning, we are at a Twitter caps lock war. 2 days ago, President Trump, in all caps, warned the Iranian president not to threaten the United States or to be prepared to suffer the consequences. Be cautious, all caps. Yesterday, the Iranian foreign minister responded, in all caps, of course. Color us unimpressed. What are we being reduced to? Then a bunch of rambling bravado and finally ending with his own identical electronic yell, all caps, be cautious. Now, Twitter wars aside, because they are pretty darn frightening, aren't they? A real war in the Middle East is looming. You can almost play a twisted and demented game of pick your caliphate with all of the regional actors looking to... Hang on just a second. I'm being handed this note from the New York Times. Yes, caliphate is still a crazy conspiracy theory. Anyway, all of the people that are looking to take advantage of the chaos that ISIS has left behind, there's all kinds of people that are looking to build a caliphate. And none of them is in a better position to benefit from all of that than Iran. They've all been but completely subjugated. Iraq, Iranian-funded, trained, and directed militias have spread out all over the country. They are now on the border of Israel. Now, beyond Iraq, Iranians are pushing closer and closer to the heart of the Middle East, where the next war will be, or it will be all about. Their militaries, their militias, their Revolutionary Guard Corps are all over Syria, and they're pushing closer and closer to the Golan Heights. There's only so much that the Israelis are going to put up with, especially when you get near the Golan Heights. They've already begun striking Iranian groups with limited airstrikes. But there's only so much, you know, anybody can do with Russian air defense assets protecting both Iran's and Assad's forces. Meanwhile, both are seeing how close they can get to the Golan Heights. So can I ask a question? What is Russia doing here? Because I thought last week we heard how much Vladimir Putin loves Israel. That's a lie. He's protecting Assad. And they are at the same time enabling Iran to turn Syria into another Lebanon. In less than 2 weeks, Netanyahu has traveled to Moscow and spoken to Putin over the phone, and yesterday spoke to the Russian foreign minister in Jerusalem. They're like, you got to stop here. You have to help us out. What was Russia's proposal? Russia suggested that the Iranian troops stay in Syria, but they can't come any closer than 60 miles to the Golan Heights. No, that's not acceptable. And Netanyahu told them as much. So as all of this has been going on, a record amount of rocket attacks from Gaza have been fired over the past 2 weeks. Iran is pressuring Hamas to up the pressure while at the same time moving their troops down through Syria. What are they doing? Exactly what they said they would do. Encircle Israel, and Russia is helping them do it. Listen to some of just the escalations in the past 72 hours. On Monday, Israel fired missiles at two Syrian missile sites. Just this morning, literally within minutes, Israel has shot down a Russian-made Syrian fighter jet after it penetrated into Israeli airspace. The next war in the Middle East. Is this it? Iran, Syria, and Russia are showing that they are an Axis power. The question is, how big will this get? Can anyone keep it under control?
It's Tuesday, July 24th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
But Stu, let's talk about things that really matter. Can we do that? I mean, this whole lot of yada, yada. Okay, I get it. You know, Israel's under attack, whatever.
Seems minor in comparison to whatever you're going to bring up next.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
The Money Diaries are tracking the real strife in America. And they're asking people to tell us how you fighting through it. How you fighting through it?
Difficult times. I mean, in this economy, with really record low unemployment, difficult times.
Especially if you're living in, you know, a big city and you're a millennial female. How are you making it? How are you making it? You want to talk about sweatshops.
We're already in the Handmaid's Tale. It's already
you
a reality.
Don't need me to say that. We know that.
And I don't know how you make it when you're a millennial today.
Okay, so here is what the Money Diaries do is they ask people to track how they spend their money, tracking every dollar.
Every dollar, and like it's seemingly like every little event in their life,
every dollar, minute. Every dollar for a 7-day period. So they followed a marketing intern. She's 21 years old. She lives in New York City, and she lives on $25 an hour.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. $25 an hour?
Now, imagine, you know, that salary going in New York City. You're not living.
I mean, $25 an hour. By the way, the average salary right now, hourly salary right now is about $25 an hour, which is pretty incredible when you think about that nationwide. In New York, though, it's below
New York,
average.
It's bad. So weekly, she pulls in $747 plus $100 to $120 every 1 or 2 weeks from babysitting. She also, has other income.
Okay. Well, what other jobs does she do?
It's no big deal. Her parents give her $800 a month in allowance. And her grandfather also wires her $300 every month.
That's nice.
Yeah. She lives in a one-bedroom, one-den apartment. Total rent, though, is $4,000. Her share is $2,100. So you can see that money is gone. Well, actually, that money's not gone because her parents are paying her share of the rent.
Oh, her rent is how? Is what's the total for dollars?
She pays zero.
$0.
Yeah. Okay. Her roommate that lives in the den pays $1,900. But her parents pay for everything.
But her share of, just to be clear, her share of the rent is $0.
Zero.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But she also has student loans.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, those can add up fast. You know, yeah. I have relatives who have been still 10 years into their career and they're still paying them off.
Actually, her parents are paying for that. So she doesn't have any. She has student loans in her name, but her parents have taken care of that.
So her share of the student loan payment
is zero.
Zero.
Yeah, zero.
Okay.
Now, she has a movie pass for $9.95 a month. She has that.
And who's paying for that?
Huh?
Who's paying for that?
She's paying for that.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. She also gets one Brazilian sugaring a month.
I don't know.
I don't really want to Google it either. I don't want to ask. She has the bronze pass. So she's not going for the silver or gold. She's going for the bronze.
Oh, my gosh.
That's $40.76 a month. Then she has her Equinox pass. Mm-hmm. So she can work out. That's $2. That's $210. Then she has a phone bill. Phone bills are,
they can get really pricey, though, Glenn. You know, with some of these with data plans and everything else, when you're a millennial, you're using your phone all the time.
I was going to say that she's not paying for her phone. Her parents are paying for the phone.
So her share for the phone is...
Yeah, right. But then she has entertainment. You know, she has to pay for Netflix and Spotify and Amazon. And,
well, I mean, there's multiple accounts. I mean, you know, $10, $20, $30, $40 a month.
Except her parents are paying for that. So her parents
Her share for those things would be...
Zero.
Okay.
Zero. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's day one. Here's how she's spent her money. Just day one. 7:35 a.m. By the way, we're going to have her on TV tonight. You don't want to miss this. 5 o'clock. Anyway, 7:35. My alarm goes off for work. It's the day after the 4th of July, and I'm beat from drinking all day. I also had a panic attack last night, and I'm still feeling a little off. Thankfully, my boyfriend slept over and helped calm me down.
That's great.
It's great. So she's got companionship, and she's woman enough to say, I spent all day drinking. That's how, you know, you celebrate independence that way. 8:06, I meditate. Good for her. And then she packs up workout clothes in her briefcase. For breakfast, I make the classic avocado toast with feta cheese and a hard-boiled egg.
I mean, can you play into the stereotype anymore? Avocado toast.
At 8:57 a.m., being that everyone had the day off yesterday, I think it'll be okay getting in to work a couple of minutes late. Okay, so she's an intern. And she's like, I can get in late.
And that's because she's not feeling well because of all the drinking.
Yeah, well, she had to stop by Whole Foods to pick up a bottle of cold brew to keep at the office. She said that's the easiest way to, you know, not spend too much for coffee. And it was $6.99. So, you know, she had to stop at Whole Foods.
The most expensive grocery store in America.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. 11:26 a.m., I spent most of my morning working on a small project, then online shopping and journaling.
So is she still at work?
Yeah, she's at work.
Because this is the first thing you said about her day, and yeah, she's including online shopping?
Yeah, 11:26. She says, a perk of being an intern is that I don't get too much work assigned, but I do find myself bored occasionally.
Oh, okay.
12:30 p.m., check the Albert app I downloaded last month. It's supposed to smart save for you by tracking how much you make and spend. So far, I've saved $113 to pay for my Equinox membership next month. It's sick. It also reminds me that I spent $55 on coffee last month, but that's not too bad.
No, it's not too bad. It really isn't. It's $55 on coffee in New York, especially if you're going to Whole Foods for it. Not bad.
So 12:35, she decides to go to the cafeteria in the building for lunch. She gets a soup and salad. She takes her lunch outside, thankfully, because it's not too hot outside.
She hasn't done anything yet, though, right, at work?
Well, no,
she worked at a small project.
She worked on a small project. She did online shopping.
She online shopped, and then she went on an app about saving money for her gym membership?
Please do not try to downplay the struggle of this millennial. Mm-hmm. 1:05 p.m., she says, I sit around and do nothing until 3 when there's a meeting. 3:30.
Wait. 1 to 3 is what now?
Just sit around.
There's not even shopping involved.
It's just shopping, just
1 to 3. Is
I sit around and do nothing until 3. 3:30. Quick break.
From what?
From doing nothing. She's got to have a break.
So is she doing something now? If she took a break,
she
from nothing,
would be
is she
relaxed. She said, "I'm eating an apple and I'm going to drink some green tea. I brought the apple from home and I make the green tea in the office pantry. I hit a wall at this time every day. You know, I get
a wall from what? She just spent 2 hours doing nothing." And now she's...
You know, you are...
I mean, the fact that she's...
Okay, Grandpa, I used to walk to work both ways uphill. I got it.
I mean, she's eating an apple. That is more than she's been doing for the last 2 hours.
Okay, so she had a 3 p.m. meeting. It either didn't happen at 3 p.m., or it only lasted a half an hour because she had to take a quick break from that meeting. At 4:42, she says, I'm finally done with all of my meetings. My boss is going out of town for 2 weeks and has left me with a bunch of little tasks to take care of while she's away. 5:01, I leave every day at 5 o'clock on the dot.
What a surprise.
Yeah, right.
She's not late. She's not staying after to do more online shopping.
No. And she doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter if she's there, you know, a little late in the morning. But I leave at 5 o'clock on the dot.
And by the way, 5 o'clock on the dot, didn't she say it was 5:01?
Yes. I don't mind because I get to go work out and enjoy my afternoons every day. I also get to work from home tomorrow. So it basically feels like Friday. Now, I don't know. So does that mean she's going to be doing her online shopping from home?
And doing nothing at home?
Doing nothing. She'll make her tea and she'll do nothing. And then she'll do some shopping. Oh, and her breaks. She'll do that all from home.
Wow.
5:45. I attend my new class at Equinox. It's called The Muse. It's a mix between bar, dance, and Pilates. The instructor has some technical difficulties getting the music set up, but the class is awesome. Even though it's way out of my comfort zone, my booty is on fire. 7 p.m.
Wait, what was that, Cliff?
My booty is on fire.
Was that part of the story, or were you just saying that?
No, I was just saying that, yeah. Okay. 7 p.m. I spend the rest of my afternoon packing for my Hamptons trip this weekend.
Wait.
What?
She's going to the Hamptons?
Yeah.
Like the most exclusive place on the East Coast to summer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now remember, she said, I get to work from home and it feels like Friday. Inferring it is Thursday.
Okay. That's what I'm getting. Yeah.
The next day is Friday. It's Thursday.
So when she's working from home, she's actually going to the Hamptons.
She's going to the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. She said, I prepare a dinner with just some random findings. During the school year, I cook a meal in my apartment. It feels so nice to cook for myself. I whip up whole wheat pasta with vodka sauce, roasted carrots and tomatoes, and a veggie burger. So random, yet so yummy. I don't think I can handle more of this poverty tale.
This is a struggle.
11:36. I call it a night earlier than I have in weeks. I'm so excited to sleep alone in my bed.
This is all right. Here's a random occurrence. I'm alone for once.
Okay. Day two, 9 a.m. My alarm goes off. 9 a.m. My alarm goes off.
Nice. That's yeah, 10 hours of sleep there.
Just want to see. Yeah, she went to bed at 11:36. Okay, 9 a.m. I finished packing for the weekend. Wait, what? I thought you were supposed to go to work. I thought you're going to work from home the next day. Mm-hmm. She's at 9 a.m. She gets up. She said, I quickly switch on my laptop to see if I have any emails. Per usual, I don't.
I wonder why. Why are people reaching out with important requests and the tasks in the office?
I finish packing up for the weekend, head over to my boyfriend since we're getting breakfast together before we leave. I call Lyft because I can't carry my purse and my weekend bag and my briefcase for a 20-minute walk.
Impossible.
How does she do it? How does she do it? 11:33. We're doomed, by the way. If you haven't thought that yet, we're doomed. 11:33. After working out for a bit at my boyfriend's place, I don't even want to know what that is. Mm. We head over to the local juice bar for is it acai bowls and smoothies?
Oh, acai.
Acai bowls. Mm-hmm. We had originally agreed on going to a diner, but boyfriend got up early to go to the gym, and he feels like eating healthy today. I don't complain because he pays for his smoothie and my bowl.
Of course. Of course.
So at 12:15 now, she's got to walk. Well, it gets dicey from there.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you can.
It can't get worse
than
this.
Yeah, I'm going to take a break, okay? So you maybe make some green tea or something.
We're going to do some online shopping.
We're going to do some online shopping, and we'll continue with. This goes on for 7 days. This goes on like this for 7 days. How people are living in this country like this, I don't understand. Socialism is the answer. All right. Owning a home has never been easier, and it continues to be a great investment. Whether you're buying your first home, your next home, or even an investment home, let American Financing customize the right loan program for you. They're going to get pre-approval fast, so you'll know how much more home you can qualify for, and you can expect faster loan processing thanks to the in-house underwriting and decision-making. They don't have to send this out to anybody. So you can close, and sometimes in as quick as 7 days. American Financing, they employ salary-based mortgage consultants. They do not work on commission. They work for you. And that's why they have an A-plus rating with the BBB and over 1,800 Google reviews. They offer the convenience of e-sign, so you can do everything from the comfort of your own home. You know, if you're working from home or the Hamptons. And they have no upfront fees. So please check them out. If you're buying or your first home, your next home, or your investment home, they'll customize a loan program that fits your financial needs. And they're licensed in all 50 states. It's American Financing. Call them now, 800-906-2440. It's 800-906-2440 or AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So I don't know. We're gonna have this. We're gonna have this young lady on today at 5 o'clock. And you want to talk about poverty? What is it like to be a millennial, 21 years old, and just trying to, you know, eke out a living, and just trying to make ends meet in New York City? This marketing intern in New York City. It's horrible. It's horrible what we've
just... So far, it's a really tragic story. I can't imagine it gets worse, though.
Oh, it does. By day three, literal starvation is happening. And just
literal? Is that the right word? Literal starvation?
Literal starvation. Yeah, she's literally starving.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So
this does get really... This is a dark tale. We probably should be...
Oh, my gosh. This ends in a doctor's visit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she ends having to see a doctor on this.
How much does she pay for health insurance? I don't remember. What was the number?
Mom and dad pay for health insurance.
So her share of that was?
Zero, yeah. She doesn't pay for her house. Mom and dad pay for that. She doesn't pay for the phone or Netflix or Amazon or student loans. Mom and dad pay for all of that. And she's on insurance for mom and dad as well. We last left her on her way on a Friday afternoon, to the Hamptons with some friends, and we've got to pick it up now. Warning, it is not for the weak. Constitution, it's really not.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
If you think you have it tough, I want to tell you the life of a young millennial. She'll be joining me at 5 o'clock today on the Blaze TV, and I don't know what I'm going to say to her because this is a terrifying story. The question is, can you live in New York on $25 a month? Now, she... $25 an hour. $25 an hour.
And that's it. That's her only
No, she also gets a $1,000 allowance from her parents and a $300 allowance a month for from her grandfather.
Oh.
And her parents pay for her rent, and they pay for school and health insurance. But she has to pay for her sugared Brazilian, her Brazilian sugaring that happens once a month, and her Equinox you know, membership. Her folks pay for her phone and all of that stuff, you know, Netflix, Spotify, Amazon. But she's responsible for the Brazilian sugaring and any of the food that she can you make it. Now, when we last left her, it was on a Friday. She had gotten up early at 9 a.m. She had been late the day before at 9 a.m. for work, but it was because it was a holiday week and people, you know, she didn't think the boss would mind if she was a few minutes late. So and now she can work from home on Friday, but she doesn't. When we last left her, she wasn't working from home. In fact, she was getting ready to go to the Hamptons because her and her friends spend their weekends in the Hamptons.
Right. Obviously.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, anyway, she, you know, she's checked her email in that morning, and then she's at a hot yoga class, and then she has to get ready for this 2.5 hour car ride. She says she's very thankful for her Equinox amenities because they make her life so much easier. She said, I arrive at my boyfriend's apartment to meet up before we drive to the Hamptons at 2:05. Before the whole group convenes, I run to Sweet Green to pick up lunch. I made a custom salad and I add tofu because I'm so into it these days. $11.70. We pick up some wine before the trip. I buy a bottle of rosé. She said we have to pit stop at the gas station. I buy some gum and sparkling water. We arrive at the Hamptons and hit absolutely no traffic on the way. Pretty amazing.
When you can leave.
Well, yeah,
in
the middle of the day on a Friday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 7:15, all the girls are staying at my friend's house for the weekend, and we cooked dinner. We prepared a huge, healthy, delicious feast of scallops and salmon and potatoes and grilled zucchini and peppers and caprese? Caprese?
It's the tomato and mozzarella salad.
Okay. Summer salads, I call it tomatoes, mozzarella.
You're not fancy like her.
I know. Dinner is followed by pie and grilled peaches and ice cream. Wow. Everybody decides to stay the night and prepare for our whole fun day tomorrow. Day three, she wakes up at 8:07 with no alarm.
Wow. Yeah.
On the weekdays, she needs an alarm at 9. But on the weekend, she's up at 8:07. She's feeling so well rested. My friend texts me and asks if I want to go on a run. I haven't run in forever, but the idea of trotting along Sag Harbor Road sounds fantastic. So they go running, and then at 9:30 they make it back to the house. She said we're just in time to make some avocado toast and scrambled eggs, fruit, and a coffee. Then the girl squad gets out and gets ready. Now that's at 9:30. She has some toast at 11:12. She's ready to go out on her friend's boat. Her dad offers to take us out in the water in the afternoon. I couldn't be more excited. I grew up boating, and I absolutely love the ocean. Few of us bring the dinghy out so we can tube and drive it up the beach later. On our way to the marina, we pick up food. We get a piece of salmon, some salad, and cauliflower salad. We finally arrive at Sunset Beach at 2:11. The water is rough. Wish we hadn't have taken the dinghy. I'd much rather been on the big boat. But all the rosé is gone by the time we raft up. 3:56, after being anchored for a little over an hour,
Theoretically, she should still be at work, right?
Yeah.
It's 3:56 on Friday.
No, this is 356. This is
next Saturday.
This is Saturday, right, yeah. We come back to the marina, help clean up a little bit, and then make our way back to the house. We have pool and chill time now in the afternoon. I lay by the pool and tan until I can go upstairs and just lay in bed for a while. How does she do this? Seriously, how does she make it with all of this laying around?
It seems to be a difficult life.
It really does. At 6:15, my friend's chef prepares vegan tacos, chicken tacos, and veggie salad. Perfect pre-drinking meal.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay, 9:06, we're drunk and ready to go. So they go out to a party. She said the party is cost her $20, and it was way overhyped and not so much fun. They have an open bar, so the ticket is like a drink voucher, but by 1:06, that's at 10:35, she says it's no fun. By 1:06, though, it's time to go home.
$20 for open bar is a pretty good price, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. My friends are too drunk and won't leave, so I call Lyft. It's a big car, costs $33. A couple of girls get in, but they pretend that they didn't know that they had to pay, so I had to pay for all of it.
Oh my gosh. Do you believe struggles. When other people have to take responsibility for your life costs?
No. Uh-uh.
I mean, that is something this person cannot relate to.
2:06, I'm definitely too drunk and finally in bed. Now, this is where it gets sad. Listen to this. 7:12 a.m. Now, this is Sunday morning. I guarantee you, on Monday, she's going to need an alarm to get up at 9. 7:12 a.m., she wakes up because this is America. This is America today. Capitalism doesn't work because I'm starving.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm starving.
Now, she did ingest several hundred calories of alcohol fairly recently.
Yeah, and she had salmon and scallops.
And cauliflower salad and vegan tacos.
Right, okay, made by a chef. Mm-hmm. She said, I didn't late night munch.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm waking up with sharp pains.
Oh. Sharp pains.
Sharp pains, because she didn't snack. She didn't late night munch.
Right, so that would have been, what, fifth meal of the day she was looking at?
Right, she didn't do it.
She only went with a four.
So now she is, and I quote, "I hate having to do this, but I snoop in my own friend's house. But I need food." Man, I feel for her at this point.
So now she's stealing her friend's food, too?
I find a carton of blueberries and yogurt in the fridge. I think this will be enough to let me sleep more.
Oh, good. So this is just an effort to get her back to bed.
Right. But at 8:03, she says, "I'm wide awake, laying in bed with a brewing stomach ache. I don't think having yogurt was the right thing."
No, it never is.
So
not in the morning
at 9:15, she's at the bagel shop because she realizes that she feels so nauseous that she needs to have. You ready? What would you have? You have a stomach ache. You're really sick to your stomach. What do you have?
I gotta say, bagel shop seems like a good call for me. Something bready, a breakfast sandwich would be something I would think about in that spot.
So you're thinking maybe eggs on it?
Like eggs and cheese on a bagel?
Yeah, cheese, dairy products would be very bad. You see, for an upset stomach.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. You didn't know that?
I know that after a night of drinking, I go to a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah. Well, if you're really sick to your stomach, you like dry toast, crackers. You don't have dairy products. Mm. She went the step further. She had a bagel with lox and cream cheese.
Oh, lox?
Yeah.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah. She
not
begins to eat it. She takes a bite and something's wrong. Yes, you're eating raw fish.
Raw fish
dope.
And yogurt. What a moron.
Moron. She then runs to the toilet and
what a surprise.
But she said, she looks at the bright side. She's always the optimist. She says, "I'm so thankful I got rid of all of that toxic crap in my system." So now,
yeah. How did it get there? By the way,
what do you mean?
How did the toxic crap get into her system? Does anyone
America.
Have any clue?
America.
Oh, it's America's
it's America.
Fault.
Yeah,
probably American bourbon.
Right. She says, "Now we're just laying by the pool and enjoying the day."
Oh, okay.
We're all hungover.
Back to work.
And 12:22, they're all hungry again. So they go to a health food restaurant. They get goat cheese and an avocado wrap.
God, what?
the stuff this person eats. I mean, you have an upset stomach. You eat yogurt, raw fish, and then you follow it up with what was it?
She has the goat cheese and
goat
avocado.
Goat cheese and avocado? This is the worst diet I've ever heard of.
Yeah, and then she says she has a vegan, gluten-free, what is this, Froyo?
Oh, Froyo, frozen yogurt?
Is that what that stands for? Mm. I am so, man, I mean, you get me into McDonald's and I can tell you what everything is on the menu. Everything. I don't know any of this. Anyway, sugar-free. She gets one that's sugar-free with mixed berry flavor and shaved coconuts and cocoa chips and candied walnuts. And that frozen yogurt was only $8.75.
Oh, wow. Okay. $9 of frozen yogurt. I guess in the Hamptons, though, there's probably a shot of yogurt.
Yeah. So most of the girls start to head out at 4:16 on Sunday. They all have trains and buses to catch, but I'm driving back. You know, we decide to leave later so we can enjoy a yummy dinner. She then at 6:27 packs her bags and decides to take a shower. But she's starving. Mm-hmm. And so they decide to head back into town for some sushi. Dinner is delicious, yada, yada, yada. But we had to have individual checks. She makes good time. She is back at her boyfriend in the city at 11:56 p.m., Sunday night. She said, I have a mini panic attack, you know, because she's just full of anxiety. She's glad. She's glad that she's able to see her therapist tomorrow. Because she's exhausted from her panic attack.
Was the panic attack related to the avocado toast? Do we know?
I'm not really sure, but let me just leave you here on day five, 7:35 a.m. Alarm goes off for work. Oh, another grueling week. You know.
That is amazing.
I'm thinking that maybe people don't understand what being poor and working hard is actually like. You know, grueling. I don't think she's qualified to ever use the word grueling.
No. Well, because it's one thing to live that life, which is a life that a lot of people would like to live if they could. Like, if you could have everyone cover all of your stuff and work basically not at all and go to the Hamptons every weekend, that's a life a lot of people would choose. It seems pretty great in a lot of ways. But
it seems a little shallow.
It definitely seems shallow.
A little shallow.
But again, not. I mean, I think there's a lot of shallow people.
Yeah.
Right. And there's a lot of everyone that's shallow. Like everyone likes creature comforts, right? And she seems to have a lot of them. So there's a lot there to like. But to write it down, to type it, like it's one thing to admit it to yourself. When you have that down and you're in the middle of writing it to a blog or an actual website. Don't you, in the middle of writing that, stop and think, I can't write this. I need to bail on this project. I can't participate. I look like an idiot. Isn't there a moment where you reconsider
participating? Well, what would she look like an idiot? If you are living in that kind of world that is that shallow, she doesn't look like an idiot. Notice she eats all the trendy foods.
Mm-hmm.
She does all the trendy things.
Yep.
She works out. You know, she's got the boyfriend. She's got the apartment in New York for $4,000 a month.
Which she doesn't pay.
She goes to the Hamptons every weekend. I mean, this is unfortunately the life that many people in America dream about. Many millennials would go, that is fantastic. Love to live life.
Look, if you're you know... You're working in some hard job where you're doing physical labor. Like, that sounds pretty nice, right?
Yeah, but these are the people, I guarantee you, she's also a socialist.
Of course.
You know, she's also somebody who really cares deeply about the situation. Look at me. I'm just an intern. I'm 21. I'm college educated. I'm just an intern. I can't find a job.
I can't make it in this city on my $25 an hour.
Guaranteed. Meanwhile, the people who are out there busting their butt and aren't living off of mums and dudsy, they don't have time to go to their therapist. They're working too hard. All right. Let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It's LifeLock. Asking your smartphone for the weather is one thing, but how about asking it to send money to a friend? Soon you're going to be able to do that just by telling your smartphone to send send money to Stu, which that will never be said.
Did you hear that? Record that. We can play it into Glenn's smartphone.
There will be security concerns, such as cyber criminals who have been able to hack now into a ton of devices and could access this kind of transaction remotely and do exactly what Stu just said. There's a ton of threats in our connected world today. And it only takes one weak link for the criminals to get in, and it's only getting more and more vulnerable as every passing day goes by. That's why the new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect you against the threats to your identity and to your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. So if you have a problem, their agents are going to work to fix it. Now, nobody can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But the new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover the threats you might otherwise miss. So go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code BECK. Get the 10% off your first year if you use the promo code BECK at 1-800-LIFELOCK, 1-800-LIFELOCK, or LifeLock.com. Okay, one last thing. Millennials are headed for heartbreak. Millennials between the ages of 18 and 37 now say that the perfect time to retire is 61. Not 65, 61. Unfortunately, they don't have anything saved, or very, very, very little saved for that retirement. But the good news is socialism is here. Everyone retire at 61.
Glenn Beck.
Stu, let me ask you a question. Do you remember when ESPN actually used to just cover sports?
I remember it like it was 20 years ago, Glenn.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like it was the MTV of sports in a way when MTV actually played music. And then MTV stopped playing music and I don't know what it became, but it's not, there's no M in MTV. At least for a while there wasn't. Now you look at ESPN, there's no S in ESPN. Mm-hmm. It's politics. It's EPPN, I think. I'm not sure, but it's all politics. So one of the people that has, very controversial is Jemele Hill. Large reason for the nonstop politicalization of the network and sports on the whole. Give you some background here. Hill gained attention last year on September 11th, calling Trump a white supremacist, a bigot, and the most ignorant, offensive president of her lifetime. Wow, that goes a little farther than anything that anybody else said about Barack Obama, doesn't it? Following the tweet, Al Sharpton.
Oh, you can't call the president a racist.
No. Following the tweet, Al Sharpton threatened to boycott ESPN if they fired her for her comments. She was not fired. She was not suspended. Less than a month later, she called companies who advertise with the Dallas Cowboys to boycott the team's stance on the national anthem. She was suspended for 2 weeks. Bob Iger, CEO of Disney, ESPN's parent company, hinted that he didn't fire her because of her race, saying it's difficult for him to understand what it feels like to experience racism. Now, in a recent interview with Al Sharpton, she described Trump's stance on kneelers as, quote, racial pornography, just to stroke his bias. Uh-huh. Now, most outlets ignored the comments, choosing instead to highlight the statements that she said regarding her departure, even lauding her for her role in strengthening stories that involve the intersection of sports, race, and politics. Okay, I think a big newspaper in New York is going out of business. And I wish I cared more, but I really don't. Oh, Glenn Beck doesn't care about journalism. No, it's not that. When you are struggling as a industry, you have to ask yourself, why? Why is that happening? Now, they'll blame that on all kinds of things. But they never blame it on nobody wants to read what you're putting out. here we have Hill and ESPN being lauded for strengthening stories that involve the intersection of sports, race, and politics. And yet I've never heard a single person in my life say, you know what I wish I had with my sports? A little more politics and race talk.
Yeah, racial politics in particular is the flavor that I would like added to my sports.
Right. So she left her position at ESPN 6 o'clock for SportsCenter for a position at the Sport Network's social justice-oriented website, The Undefeated. Now, if I could just get some social justice with my sports, now I'm really set. The Undefeated is a natural home for me, she wrote, given that it's a site about the intersection between sports, African Americans, race, culture. It mixes all of those things that I think are even more vital now to discuss, and I wanted to do it on a platform that was deeply aligned with who I am as a person. Right, sure. But apparently that's not even enough. She has decided to leave the network now. She announced this at Aussie Fest. She said, quote, it's sort of a realization. I'll be candid. Obviously, some of the things that have happened to me in the last 10 or 11 months have played a role in that. But even before any of that stuff happened with Donald Trump, I was feeling, I just wondered to myself, when my contract with ESPN was up in a few years, whether or not I would continue on in sports, period. I mean, there's a real concentration. There's still a real need about stories of women of color. And that is going to be the huge focus of what I do. Now, here's a little bit of her political insight that she shared.
To go one step further, we've already got a president who came from a non-political background, nothing whatsoever. Do you think we could get to the point where we have definitely political candidates, congressmen in the Senate who come from a sports background, whether it be sports journalism or sports itself?
Definitely. And in fact, now if I had to pick the athlete, although he's not just an athlete, he's probably one of the biggest entertainers in the world, that I could see being the president in the future, it'd probably be The Rock. And I know that one
President Rock.
President Rock
has a ring to it.
I could definitely see that happening because he has a lot of elements that bring a lot of different groups together. He comes from a impoverished background. He represents those who kind of have that pull yourself by the bootstraps mentality. He obviously has an ethnic background, being Samoan. You know, he's motivational. I don't know anybody who hates The Rock. You know, I mean,
anybody hate The Rock?
I was like, nobody hates The Rock. The Rock probably, while we're up here talking, probably starred in 7 movies. Like, nobody works harder in Hollywood than that guy.
I guarantee you, if The Rock turns out to be conservative, lots of people will begin to hate The Rock. And it'll be led by voices like yours.
It's Tuesday, July 24th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
When's the last time you were at a mall? I went to a mall a couple weeks ago with my wife. I haven't been to a mall in a long time. And boy, it has changed. And this was one of the nicer malls here in Texas. And things are going well in Texas. But all these stores were just closed. I read an article that Barney's, Saks Fifth Avenue, across from Rockefeller Center, Saks Fifth Avenue. This is the, the original Gimbel's store from, you know, Miracle on 34th Street. That was the Gimbel's headquarters, and now it's Saks Fifth Avenue. They're talking now about selling it, tearing it down, and making it into office space. All of these big, huge department stores, that's a thing of the past. What is the plan for these giant malls that are sitting empty all across the country? We wanted to bring on Nolan Gray. He is a Young Voices advocate. He's a contributor for marketurbanism.com. He is a young guy who is a city planner. And a guy who is a libertarian, and he just received last week the Young Voices Award at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. It's a new award from Reason Magazine that goes to libertarian policy writers who work actively to translate ideas into actual results that are free market ideas. Welcome to the program, Nolan. How are you?
I'm great, Glenn. Thanks so much for having me.
So, first of all, congratulations on the award.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, you are a city planner, which a libertarian city planner is almost an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah, I went into the admissions office and I told them, find me the most libertarian thing to study. and they told me city planning. No, I just became interested in it. It's something that has a huge impact on the places that we live. It's an area of policy that, you know, for obvious reasons, has mostly been neglected by people who care about freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
And so it just seemed like a place to have a really big impact.
So what is your opinion of Houston? Houston is the only city in America that's left without city planners, I believe, or at least it used to be. And it seems to be doing fine. Why do we need all of this city planning?
Yeah, right. Houston's fascinating. They're the only major U.S. city to not have zoning, which is where cities break up parts of the city into different districts for certain uses or certain densities. So they don't have any of that. They're actually the only city that voted on zoning, and they voted it down 3 times. Every other city sort of quietly adopted it through right. administrative means.
And is it failing in any way?
Well, if you look at the population growth numbers, I mean, revealed preferences, right? It's not failing. Tons of people are moving to Houston.
And people who live there love it. They love it.
Yeah, right, right. I mean, like any city, it has its challenges, right? Yeah. Like traffic.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, relative to cities that are much more heavily planned, it's not entirely obvious what Houston is missing in a lot of respects.
So what is the city of tomorrow look like, especially with the malls? And do you agree that, you know, Saks Fifth Avenue and Macy's and Lord and Taylor, I think, just went out of New York City. But, you have huge traditions and swaths of property that are these giant department stores. Are they gone?
Yeah, well, we're talking about hundreds of acres of urban land, in many cases in prime, you know, sort of locations. Most cities don't have a plan, so all sorts of different things are really happening with it. My hometown, a mall sat empty for about a decade and then turned into a megachurch. In a lot of cases, they're being redeveloped as office space, more housing, so new apartments or new little single-family homes. Most cities don't really have a plan. And they've sort of locked in this mall zoning where the only thing that really can be developed on those lots are new malls. And where there's just no demand for that, it's not entirely clear what can happen in the policy status quo.
So if I'm not mistaken, you would know better than I do, but I believe the first mall in America was in Rochester, New York. And it was in the 50s or 60s, and mainly because it's freaking freezing in Rochester. And nobody wanted to go, you know, down the streets. Minneapolis is very much the same. What happens to those cities where I'm not walking down the street in Phoenix, Arizona, in the summer, and I'm not walking down the street, in Rochester in the winter?
Mm-hmm.
Malls of America, do they play a role because of the weather?
That's a good point. I always heard that they'd kind of gotten their start in Minnesota. So I think that's probably a pretty similar story. Nobody wants to walk around 6 months in Minnesota.
Right.
What's going to happen? You know, I think there's always going to be some malls. They're not going to completely disappear. I think that most of the mid-size and smaller malls are probably going to disappear. You're really only going to have the huge ones where, like the Malls of America, they're probably going to be fine. But they're almost tourist destinations, right?
Yeah.
You know, like I remember when I was a kid growing up in Kentucky, people would come to the local mid-sized city and go to the mid-sized mall. You know, that's probably all done. Those people are just going to go, one state over to a mega mall in a place like Nashville or a place like Indianapolis. So those huge malls are going to be fine. I mean, what are you going to do in a place like Phoenix? I think probably most of the retail corridors are going to retool around what's called experiential retail. So they've got to be experiences that you can't get through Amazon. If I want to buy anything for the lowest price, I'm just going to do it on Amazon now. You know,
so like what's experiential?
It might be like a spa or like a bar with a lot of different options for beers, or it might be maybe if you're buying a custom or personalized item. So, you know, this could be, for example, apparel stores that are much more concerned with helping you find maybe specific clothes or specific sizes that you really need an expert consultant on. And so you can kind of see, you know, a lot of the big box stores are sort of scrambling to go in this direction where they're trying to have more customer service. You know, and traditionally they've understood this. You walk into, well, I was going to say H.H. Gregg, but they already disappeared. You walk into a Best Buy, right, and like four people rush over to try to help you.
So
Their advantage over Amazon.
Here in Texas, there are these little towns that are sprouting up. They're just like Main Street, and they have urban housing and apartments and restaurants and shops, and they're just little towns. And it's very much like my childhood when I was growing up before the malls hit. Are millennials starting to go back into that direction?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the new sort of things you're seeing is called lifestyle centers, where it's a mixture. It's not just retail. And the original vision for the mall was not just retail. The original vision for the mall was we're going to have community spaces, maybe churches. We're going to have some apartments. This is going to be a place where people live and they work, and then they come for, you know, social events. But in practice, what the mall became was much more just exclusively retail, maybe with a food court. And so I think probably what you're going to see is a return to that, where you have these sort of retail centers that are trying to mimic the traditional Main Street.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, professional offices, some retail, some apartments, things of that nature.
Yeah. Nolan, it's great to talk to you, and we need more libertarians in all walks of life, but certainly with city planning that can help us remain free and tamp down some of the insane ideas and regulations from some city planners. Nolan, thank you so much, and congratulations.
Thanks so much, Glenn.
You bet. You can follow him at mnolangray. .com. All right. Sponsor of this half hour is Goldline. Goldline has something really, really unique. I was just looking at the numbers of things that are happening where we are. Russia just last week just dumped $85 billion of treasuries over the last 2 months. They have gotten rid of almost all of the U.S. treasuries. People are starting to dump our treasuries. If that happens, we're in trouble. And the value of our debt goes away. And that means we're going to be paying higher interest rates on our debt as a country. We won't be able to afford it. Our dollar will be worth less. It's bad. So Goldline has gone to the Royal Canadian Mint, and they've made something called the Maple Flex Bar. Now, this is an idea that I had a few years ago, and they made them in gold. But gold, if crap hits the fan, gold is going to be worth way too much. So this is a way for you to get in at an inexpensive price, and it would actually be day-to-day. It makes up 2 ounces of silver, and the design makes it possible for you to take and break it up. Let's see. There you go. You break up the silver into pieces, and then you can spend it. So, like, this is a there's 10 of these 1/20th ounce bars. There's 5 1/10, and then there are 4 1/4 ounce bars, fully silver, each bar guaranteed legal tender, weight, purity, everything by the Royal Canadian Mint. They're all marked for that. 19 legal tender coins. You can only get these at Goldline. Maple Flex, you can put them in your IRA, your precious metals IRA. You can buy them at Goldline, same price for credit card, check, or bank wire. Qualifying orders can take advantage of Goldline's Price Shield program. Ask them about that. It's pretty amazing. Call them now at 866-GOLDLINE. That's 1-866-GOLDLINE. Read their important risk information. Make sure buying gold or silver is right for you. It's 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. Okay, I have some pretty disturbing news. Brace yourself for this. Australia, some people are saying now, does not exist.
Global warming has destroyed it. It's gonna. How long do we have until Australia goes away? What's the?
No, it never was. It doesn't exist. It was. It's just all made up. It's a government scam.
The continent.
Yes.
It's a government scam.
Yes. And everybody's in it. Hugh Jackman's in on it. All these people, they're in on it. Those are all
including Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. He is. Anyone who claims they're from Australia, it's an amazing story. And I think you're going to be pretty wowed by the facts of this story. But it was a government conspiracy to cover up the mass genocide of the English Empire.
So it wasn't a prison colony. No.
All those people that were said going to prison. Hmm. No, they were all just dumped into the sea. So they're
okay.
I
mean, I guess that theoretically
could be. You think that there's really? How come you can't find the kangaroo any place but Australia?
Come on, well, they have them in zoos.
Mythical animal.
No, they have. I mean, I've seen them.
No, that's a costume. That's government. Anyway,
but what about all the people? I guess you could say okay. They were a bad empire. They murdered all these people and didn't actually send them to the call. I guess you could theoretically argue that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true, but you mm-hmm. could theoretically argue it.
Yeah, right.
What about the people that live there now?
No. They are... that's actually a computer algorithm. It's
A computer algorithm has...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about the people that live there and have visited
they
there?
They don't really exist.
I've met people that have... I've never been myself. No,
any of the pictures, any of the people, all made up by the government. You know, let me just give you the story when we come back, okay? Because when you hear the full story, I think you'll see the method to the... Well, the madness. You'll see the madness when we come back.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
We got to get to this Australia story. Stu just said to me something that is so disturbing because I completely relate. He's like, I hope Tika Tiwari is right about Bitcoin, which we'll get into here in a second. He said, because, you know, I don't want to get up in the morning. And yeah. I said, yeah. And he's like, I don't want to even move. And I'm like, I'm with you. I'm at the point to where
I just want to keep my front door unlocked and then order things and have people bring them up to my bedroom. And they can just put them on the bed and I'll just eat and you know, I mean, that's about it. I was going to say,
then your wife would be that enabler, you know, cause you'd end up
totally
on my 800 yeah. pound husband.
Yeah. 800 is underselling what I would do if Bitcoin, if Tika's right, you're just going to see it. You're going to see, well, who's the Goodyear blimp? It's crashed into the stadium. No, I'm just in row E.
That's Stu. He needs one of those big seat belts. So we'll get into that here in just a second. What's happening with cryptocurrency in just a minute. But first, I want to give you this story about, you know, a new theory. Now, this started at the Flat Earth Society Forum. But it's not just flat earthers. And I want to talk to somebody who is believes this. If you believe in Australia, you're sadly mistaken because it doesn't exist. Everything you have ever heard about it was made up. Any pictures of it you've seen faked by the government. If you've talked to people on the internet that claim to be from Australia, they're actually government agents who are surfing the internet to enforce these false beliefs that Australia exists. Do you know if we lost technology and we lost civilization, do you know how fast people would start to believe stuff like this? Were you ever in Australia? They were making all of that up to cover up for crimes. You weren't there. Do you know anybody who was there? In one generation, it's over. I mean, we are back
but
to
there's
this.
People living there. There's
no, it wouldn't be over for them. It would be over. Oh, I see what you're doing. You trapped me into believing that there were people in Australia because there is a...
Yes, that's what I
okay.
did.
I'm just saying, for the people like over here, people any place where you're a ways away from people. Imagine how look at what we think about medicine now and how it's killing us and how capitalism is killing us and airplanes are evil because of what they did to the sky. Imagine that kind of philosophy, this nihilistic postmodernism, if it took over, you wouldn't be able to restore civilization for a while. And by the time you got back, what would be lost would be incredible.
It's true.
We'd go back to the Stone Age. I really think so.
People will believe anything these days.
Anything.
You know, so when people take off and they go on a vacation to Australia, where are they flying them? Is it like a rendition situation? They're flying them to another area and they're just calling it Australia? Like, what's happening?
Okay, so Australians.
Yes.
Are all actors or computer-generated personas. Now, Australia isn't real. This is according to the lead, you know, quote, scientist on this.
Mm-hmm.
Australia is not real. It's a hoax made for us to believe that Britain moved their criminals to someplace. In reality, all of these criminals were loaded off of the ships into the water, drowning before they could ever see land again. And it's a cover up for one of the greatest crimes of mass murder in history. Made by one of the most prominent empires, England.
But people in that era did all sorts of really terrible things that we know about. So why would...
Not this one. This one's really bad.
They create for criminals, not even innocent people. Criminals.
How are you going to back out of the whole, kangaroo doesn't exist thing? You're not. They're too
so
deep.
So now they're just
England
covering...
England is too deep into it. And the Western world is going on.
I've seen kangaroos.
No, you think you have. I think, you know what? I've seen Abraham Lincoln at Disney. No, you haven't. No, you haven't.
That's true. It's not really Abraham Lincoln at Disney.
It's not Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Australia does not exist. All the things that you can call proof are well-fabricated lies and documents made by leading governments of the world. Your Australian friends, they are computer-generated. The plane pilots are in on this in secret. And when you say, I want to go to Melbourne, they don't fly you to Melbourne, Australia, because it doesn't exist. Or Sydney, they fly you to islands that are very nearby, or in some cases, parts of South America, where they have cleared a space where everybody pretends to be Australian. So we don't know where, but we do know, you know, continental wise, we do know that it's in South America. This fake Australia. Now, I've seen parts of it.
I've
seen parts of the fake Australia. Where you're like, wait a minute, this isn't Australia. It's called the Outback. If you've been to an Outback Steakhouse,
that's an Australian embassy, right? The Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah, I think so. Australia, one of the biggest hoaxes ever created. I think it's probably the biggest.
Yeah, if you created a continent.
Yeah, I think it would be.
You get number one on a giant hoax list.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I guess the moon landing, though. Is the moon real or did we just not go to it? Do you know the details of that?
If what?
Is the moon real or did we just fake our landing on it? Like, is the moon that we faked our landing on, or is the moon fake?
No, the moon's real.
Okay.
I mean, it's not what we think it is.
Is it cheese?
No, you weren't here last week. You've never seen the dark side of the moon. Okay, did you hear what happened on MSNBC last week?
Thankfully, no.
Okay, Sarah, do we have the MSNBC where they have the theory about Donald Trump? Now, remember, these are not conspiracy theorists, okay? What'd you say, Sarah?
They're looking for it.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know that MSNBC and CNN, all these guys, they hate conspiracy.
They hate them. They hate conspiracy theories.
So, while you were on vacation, an article in the New York Magazine came out, and it was really well written and researched, and it said, you know, this is probably not true, but if it were, it would be a very high impact event. And so we should consider the ramifications.
Okay. Oh, that sounds pretty scary.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So they came out with the theory that Donald Trump is actually a Russian spy that went over in 1987 for the very first time. and met with the Soviets, and they made him an operative and a sleeper. And then he came back, and you'll notice around the 80s is when he started becoming famous. So he's a government operative from Russia. Now, again, this isn't true. Well, it's most likely not true. It's low probability, but high impact.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you they were critical of your theories.
Yeah, well,
about
of course
potentially
they were. The caliphate.
Or that Barack Obama was a democratic socialist.
Yes.
You remember when that was an insult to the left?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that was insulting and a conspiracy theory. But this is not. Now, we delved a little further into it last week, and it brings me to the moon. The moon, the dark side of the moon, notice we've never seen it.
No, I guess we never have.
Exactly right. When did you first start hearing about Donald Trump?
I mean, mid to late 80s.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. It goes a little further than the Soviets. Okay. You'll notice that you really don't hear about Donald Trump at all, until after Neil Armstrong lands on the moon. Now, this probably isn't true, but think of the impact if it were.
It's low probability, high impact event.
Huge, high impact. There are some that believe that Donald Trump is a space baby, that he is from the dark side of the moon.
Oh, no.
And he was out and about on the moon. And Neil Armstrong was like, what is this baby doing here? And they're like, shh, quiet. Shh. And then we lost contact for a few minutes.
Well, have you heard the audio where they said, what's this baby doing here?
No,
I've never heard that audio.
No, of course not. They've taken that out. And doctored all the images. And
So Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong,
what
do you think he's saying? What do you think he's saying? One small step. He's not taking one small step. He's not taking a little teeny. Those are baby steps. What do you think he's talking about? He's talking about baby Trump, the space baby. And this baby is from a master race on the other side of the moon, the dark side, which, if you look into it, it's completely dark. You don't see anything, right? If you look into the barrel of a cannon, wouldn't you think it looks pretty much the same?
Well, yeah, but why was
it? Because when this moon, again, probably not going to happen, but if it did, high impact, when the moon turns around at the space baby's command, we're actually looking into a giant barrel of a giant space cannon, and the moon is going to be shot out of that cannon at the Earth.
Mm.
Now, you think this is crazy, but answer me this. Riddle me this, Batman. How come Donald Trump is the first one to be talking about a space force? Need I say more?
I mean, a little more, yeah.
Yeah.
This is what happens when I go on vacation.
Now, I tell you something. This is what happens. This is what happens when you talk to people who still believe in Australia. Okay, last Thursday night, cryptocurrency expert Tika Tiwari revealed the details on why he believes Bitcoin is going to be at $40,000 by the end of the year. That's insane. Oh, yeah.
Please let that happen so I can sit on my bed and order things.
40,000. Now, last week before he got here, it was 6,100, I think, and then it went to 6,700.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who watched that conference with you last week, if they invested that night, they've done very well. It's up over 20% since. What's that? It's at 8,200 right now.
8,200.
I mean, it's up to over 20%.
If this guy calls this, I mean, if he even gets close, if it's 30,000.
Oh, my God.
That's crazy.
Anywhere near there.
Yeah. So anyway, whether you believe in Bitcoin and the technology behind it or not, I urge you to take a few minutes to review what Tika has to say. At midnight Wednesday night, the best deal he will offer on his Palm Beach confidential service will expire. It will expire. We started offering it last week. It's an extraordinary opportunity to see the gains that he has helped others achieve. It's life changing. I met the people who have been following him for the last 2 years. or longer. And these people, like one woman said, you know, my husband, he's disabled. He lost his job. I had another. We were barely making ends meet. I decided to invest my money the way Tika was. And she said, I don't have any concern about money anymore. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Anyway, watch the replay for free through midnight Pacific tomorrow. This is your last chance. Go to BeckCryptoShow.com. Watch it now. BeckCryptoShow.com. I may have to push the Elon Musk thing one more day. Have you asked yourself, why is Elon Musk in so much trouble? Why is Elon Musk in trouble all of a sudden?
It's interesting. I had a big debate over last week about whether he was a good guy or a bad guy in this mining situation with a submarine. Was that a big story?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, everyone was saying that he's like this terrible guy and he's taking advantage of publicity and he didn't do anything to help. And
I'm going to give you the reason. I think I'm going to have to push it till tomorrow. I'm going to give you the reason why all that is happening. I'm going to lay out a pretty good case for you. That'll be on tomorrow's radio show. You don't want to miss that. Also, we have another conspiracy theory. This one is Rachel Maddow's conspiracy theory. Listen to this.
The way that he responded to Putin when we saw him face to face, and then the fact that he took under consideration all of these demands from Russia, including handing over Americans to Russia for interrogation, that just, you know, that it makes the worst case scenario really palpable. The worst case scenario that the president is a foreign agent suddenly feels very palpable. You know, the more that I talk to intelligence professionals and people who have brought espionage cases and all this kind of stuff, people who've really dealt with these spy movie scenarios in real life, the more you hear that the behavior of a compromised person who is effectively coerced because of something that a foreign leader, a foreign government, foreign intelligence service has over them, the more subtle the signs can be. It may not be totally transactional. It may not be, we've got this thing about you that we're going to expose unless you do our bidding, and so therefore hand us this secret. It may not always be transactional. It may be that there is just a fear factor.
Said the president was a socialist. I said the president was hanging out with Marxists, that he had hired a communist in the White House, that he had all kinds of connections to democratic socialists, and he was not a capitalist. He was a socialist. That was the biggest conspiracy theory and evil you could possibly have said. They wouldn't look into Jeremiah Wright or anything else. We weren't saying he was a foreign agent. Now, some were. Donald Trump was, you know, where's the birth certificate? That had to be a foreign agent thing. So
Alex Jones, there
Alex
some,
Jones yeah. was saying that kind of stuff. We weren't saying that. Listen to what she's saying. The president is a Russian foreign agent.
It's incredible.
Again, it goes back to why are the media centers crumbling? Why are they crumbling? Nobody wants to hear that message. They're tired of it. Oh, yeah. They're playing to a smaller and smaller fraction of America. That's why you guys can't figure it out. What are you? You've gone insane. You're doing things far worse than you ever blamed me for. But this time, no. But this time, hey, there is something there. Uh-huh. Okay. Yesterday, the New York Daily News announced it's laying off 50% of its editorial staff. Tronc, a company that owns the Daily News, says it's fundamentally restructuring the newspaper, which has been around since 1919. Daily News reportedly lost $90 million over the last 3 years. Like all other companies and all other newspapers around the country, it is having to refocus its resources on digital media to be able to survive. Now, knowing that this is the harsh reality of the media business, why did Governor Andrew Cuomo release this strange statement yesterday, shortly after the Daily News layoffs were announced? It reads, in part, these layoffs were made without notifying the state or asking for assistance. I urge Trump to reconsider this drastic move and stand ready to work with them to avert this disaster. I understand that large corporations often only see profit and dividends as the bottom line. No, it's not profit. It's not profit. We're not concerned about profit at this point. They're concerned about losing $90 million or $30 million a year. Anyway, but in New York, we also calculate loss of an important institution, loss of jobs, and the impact on families affected. I hope Tronc does the same and recalculates its decision. New York State stands by, ready to help. Now, wait a minute. Hang on just a second. Wait. New York. New frickin' York. Can afford an additional $30 million to bail them out? To have them break even? And is the media thinking this is a good idea? Wow, if I could only get the state to help fund the newsroom. I bet the state is ready to help. It's like a circling shark. Could he be thinking about a plan like New Jersey's legislature passed last month? The Civic Information Consortium Bill? This established a nonprofit organization with the main purpose of supporting your local news. Oh. New Jersey funded it with $5 million in taxpayer money. And the nonprofit will operate in conjunction with five different public universities in New Jersey. Oh my gosh, so we have the government and the universities helping tell us, the average working people, the schlubs of America that never really seem to get it, exactly what's going on. That's fantastic. A government-funded news organization to be coordinated by select public universities. This is the ultimate progressive utopian dream. This would actually be hilarious if it wasn't so terrifying. In his statement, Governor Cuomo says, I understand the value of a robust free press. But as their neighbors in New Jersey are about to find out, a government-funded press will certainly not be robust and definitely no longer free.
It's Tuesday, July 24th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, it is. It is Tuesday. Hey, welcome to, if you're in the Dallas or Texas area, welcome to the fires of hell. It's hot, and I think that's an understatement. It's hot. I've lived in Phoenix, and yeah, Phoenix is, you know, there's nothing like 117. That's hot. But you know, the nice thing about Texas is it gets really, really super hot and humid.
It's not that humid. It's not been that bad.
It's not Houston humid.
No,
it's like not Houston.
30% humidity, which is, you know, not 0%.
Yes.
It's not the desert.
Right.
But it's a heck of a lot better than
Houston.
I'd much rather have this than, remember we went to, I think it was Charleston a few years ago.
Oh my gosh.
In the middle of the summer, and we walked around town. It was, you know, from one of those tragic events, and we were walking around town and we were meeting people and we had it was really an incredible city, and the people there were incredible. The weather, I don't know how anyone dealt with it.
We walked around and I had to go do do a public event. We walked around because we got into town. We walked around and we wanted to see what was going on. I had to stop at a store and buy a shirt because mine was sopping wet.
I mean, you'd be outside for a minute and just dripping in sweat.
It's awful.
It was awful. I brought a towel. I stole a hand towel from the hotel and I just brought it with me for the walk.
Yeah, I would rather have that. I'd rather have this than that.
Yes.
But I'd rather have Phoenix than this. It is hot as hell.
It is, but it's been a couple of weeks of it now.
Yeah, it's 110 now in Texas. And it's, what was it, 113 in, not wait, was it Waco yesterday?
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I saw
like 113, highest temperature ever.
Death Valley hit 120 yesterday.
Now, the rest of the country apparently is not suffering from this heat wave.
Now, there's certain areas, I read somewhere that something like 3/4 of the country has actually left the summer heat early this year.
Well, thanks. You shipped it down here. It's really hot down here. But, you know, the amazing thing is, I read a story because California, Arizona is having a heat wave as well, and so is California. Now, California is a little different than Texas. And I would like to speak directly to those people who moved to Texas from California. Why did you move here? What brought you to Texas? Well, you might say, well, I didn't want to necessarily live in Texas, but my job took me here. Oh, your job took you here. How come your job didn't leave you in California? Is it maybe, perhaps, I don't know, because of regulation and taxes that you can't create jobs? Why is it that Texas is creating 50% of all jobs for the nation? 50% of all jobs for the nation created here. Why? Why? Because it's still free. It's still free of regulation. It's still free of tax. It has unlimited energy. It's almost like living in America, not California. Now, here's why I bring this up, connected to the heat. California having a power grid failure because they have a heat wave. So the California grid operator Monday issued an alert to homes and businesses that they need to start conserving electricity. And they're on now what's called a flex alert due to the high temperatures. Now, so what is a flex alert? Well, customers are asked now to reduce natural gas if you use natural gas. You're supposed to turn off the lights, you know, at night. You don't need them during the day, but if you just keep them also off at night, you should be okay. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So use natural light during the day and then no light at night. You know, it'll be like camping. You know what? It'll be like living in the prairie in the 1800s. It is so great when there's no electricity. It's fun. It's fun, especially in a heat wave. Now, you have to ask yourself, California, why don't you have any electricity? Because Texas has a lot. We are growing like mad. We cannot keep up with the building of businesses and houses almost literally here in Texas. It's expanding so rapidly, and yet we're not having a problem with our power grid. Why is that? Oh, I remember. Because our power grid is free and unencumbered. We haven't made all kinds of laws and restrictions. So we have plenty of natural gas. We have plenty of wires going to everybody's houses. We have plenty of power plants that are making plenty of energy. Now, you could say, well, that does have a downside. I'm thinking, what could that downside be? Oh, that it is flex priced. So in other words, the more kilowatts that are used, the higher the demand, the higher the price. Yes, that is true at times like now. However, the price of electricity, and for anybody who is a big user of electricity in Texas, you can go in and pretty much tell the power companies, yeah, I'm not paying that. Because energy is so plentiful here that you can pretty much get it everywhere. It's kind of like, I'm sure, Marty, plutonium is easy to find in 1985. But it's kind of like that here.
Well, it's deregulated, too. I mean, so there's so many options and so many different places to go.
You have tons of options. So, California, you refuse to make your own energy. You import all of your energy. Now, I don't know how you sleep at night. I really don't. Oh, we are so green. We're not going to build a power plant. No, you'll just build huge cables on the other side of your border, and you'll have somebody else burn all the coal so you can feel good about yourself while condemning coal plants. Your politicians are liars, and you're living a lie. And you know what? There's no sympathy, none, zero sympathy when you have a drought. Why? Why do you have a drought? You have a drought because you won't build any reservoirs. Oh, no, it'll disrupt the natural flow of things. Yeah, you mean all the rainwater that should be held that could generate clean electricity could also be used to plant and water crops so you have food, but instead you just let it run right out into the ocean. And California is suggesting a few things. For instance, this handy tip, I didn't know this, but they have a handy tip that fans are good to circulate air.
The cold air. Yeah, but fans will blow the cold air around for you.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know what a fan was until they explained it to me like
Well, now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a monkey on a bicycle that's running that fan?
That is what most people in California,
okay, good.
I guess I didn't know. They buy them
know.
At the zoo and they
bring them home. Whoa. They don't have zoos in California, do they?
No, they have to go to Nevada for that.
I mean, you're not a monkey keeper. You're not an owner of a monkey. You're a parent of a monkey. Because monkeys are people too. Okay? We're talking California here. So I don't know how you power that fan of yours, but apparently fans. And the other safety tip, and I think this is good, is the beach is a great way to get away from the heat.
What?
Shut up.
Really?
No way. Wait a minute. You can just go to a beach?
It's amazing. Who would have thought it was possible?
Why don't people just live on the beach?
I know.
They should just live right there by the ocean. There's got to be little towns along the ocean front. They should live there.
Well, global warming's coming, so people have all moved away from the water.
Yeah, that's right.
They're running away from the coastlines.
Yeah, the prices must be going through the floor.
Through the floor. No one wants to live near the water anymore because they know
crazy.
Those global warm. As I was always amazed by this. This goes back to, I think it was Inconvenient Book. And there's a picture of a map of Florida and where all the projected global warming floods are going to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little helpful guide of all the celebrities' homes that they've bought in those zones. People who are saying global warming is this huge threat, but then keep buying homes in the flood zones they say are coming. Well, why, if you really believe the flood zones are right around the corner, why on earth would you buy?
I can tell you why. I can tell you why. Back when I was growing up, you know, we were afraid of the Russians.
Yes.
Unlike today.
No, we all love them.
We love them now. So we were afraid of the Russians, and we were afraid 12 to 18 minutes, and you were dead.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I remember we were talking about, where do you want to be? I mean, do you want to be in a fallout shelter, or do you want to be at ground zero? You want to be vaporized so you don't have to live through it? That's what these celebrities are thinking.
Oh, really?
They think, you know what? When it comes, I'm going to be the first online. I'm going to be the front. I'm going to be wiped out by the evil that is because the earth is going to be so bad that I just don't want to live through it.
Wouldn't you instead buy the inland property that will soon be on the coastline?
No.
Because you could predict it in the future to the exact centimeter.
No.
That the water is going to rise. So why not just purchase beautiful waterfront property?
You want to be forward thinking?
Yeah.
You start building beachfront homes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in wherever, Omaha. You just start, there's this beautiful beach property right there in Omaha.
That works.
And then just wait to rake the money in. Let me tell you about Simply Safe. Simply Safe Home Security. Really great security. Their alarm system is, I mean, I put their alarm system in the house 5 years ago. It is so much better now. I mean, when we put it in 5 years ago, it was state of the art. Now, I mean, technology is moving so fast. Now, here's the thing. The Simply Safe, they've run over 10,000 live glass break simulations. This is the kind of thing they do on absolutely every piece of the product. They do not want it to be just good. They want it to be the best on the market. Most of the glass break technology, they can't tell the difference between a glass breaking in your kitchen or somebody breaking glass in a door. It can't tell the difference between a broken plate and a broken window. And sometimes they can't even tell the difference between a baby crying. So your alarm's going off all the time. SimpliSafe, that wasn't good enough. So 10,000 simulations until they could dial it in just right, and that way it would be ready for your home. SimpliSafe, a system designed that you won't even notice it, but it will notice all the things that are going wrong and call police or fire 24/7. Now, that's $15 a month. It's the best around-the-clock protection that you can find, and it's unbelievably affordable. $15 a month, no contracts if you want it. But when you see the price of the actual system, you're going to feel so... The alarm system you have in your house, you have paid for at least 25 times. Guaranteed. At least 25 times. SimpliSafe, buy it once. You own it. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get 10% now. SimpliSafeBeck.com. Save 10%. SimpliSafeBeck.com. I know. I did that last night too. The News and Why It Matters, which is a great show that we do on The Blaze every day at 5:30 Eastern Time, now a podcast, audio podcast, and you can listen to it. Just, you know, go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, and it's The News and Why It Matters.
Featuring?
Well, me and Stu and Pat and sometimes Doc Thompson, he's usually there, and sometimes... what's his name?
Jason Buttrell and Sarah Gonzalez as well. It's a great, great team.
Yeah.
And it's a fun show, fun conversation every day.
It does, especially by the end. It can get a little out of control.
Yeah, you might think we're doing shots in the commercials.
Right, but we're not. No, we're not.
Mostly sober.
So anyway, it's an all-new podcast, The News and Why It Matters. Content not seen anyplace else, and you can find that wherever you listen to your podcast. Make sure you go and subscribe. And will you do me a favor and rate it? I mean, assuming you're going to give us a good rating.
Yeah, don't give us a crappy one.
Don't give us a crappy rating. That actually helps every time, especially if you listen to the Glenn Beck podcast or the News and Why It Matters. When you subscribe and rate it, it helps it move up to be discovered by other people. And that's really what we are looking for, is make sure that we're up towards the top so it can be discovered by other people who are just looking for the news.
This show was available in podcast form. That would be something that people could listen to if they maybe caught part of it on the way in and they want to hear the rest of the show.
This show is available on podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
iTunes. I'd pay $100,000 a year for access to that.
Well, you know what? I can only provide you access. Okay.
Oh.
For you.
No, I was hoping you'd say it was free, so then everyone could enjoy it.
Well, it is, but not for the device that you have. I've seen what you carry, so I have to do that. So I'll take your $100,000.
Okay.
Everybody else can watch it free on their device or listen to it. The podcast, again, on iTunes. The Glenn Beck Show, the Glenn Beck Radio Program, and The News and Why It Matters. Really good. So there's a new Austrian politician that wants to make Jews register to buy kosher meat. Is this a problem at all for anybody?
I don't see why in that region of the world, why anyone would fear a bad consequence from that particular action.
He's like, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just pro-animal. And the Jews are slaughtering too many animals. And a lot of them, I'm sure, goes to waste. So I just want a list of all of the Jews in the area, so they can be licensed to go ahead and buy the kosher meat.
As far as I understand, anytime you give an Austrian a list of Jews, it's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Nothing bad has ever happened from that.
When an Austrian says, hey, can we make a list? I don't care if it's for the grocery store. Don't do it. So there's a couple of things. The secret Michael Cohen tapes. It's not going to change anybody's mind. I don't care. Donald Trump could be on tape going, yeah, you got that hooker for me? You got the hooker for me, and you're going to pay her off so she doesn't talk, right? Yeah, Donald, I'm going to do that. Great. Nobody's going to care.
Well, I mean, nobody made that point better than Donald Trump himself. He said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue in broad daylight and he wouldn't lose any voters.
Right.
And he's basically right about that.
Right. And everybody has...
Everyone's made up their mind
there's
already.
There's nobody that... I'm sorry, but this, Pastor Jeffers or whatever his name is, despicable guy. The guy is a despicable man. He took down Ronald Reagan to try to prop up Donald Trump. Look, Donald Trump is who he says he is. We know who he is. Okay, it was people like you that said we're not electing a pope. Okay, we got it. Everybody baked that in. He likes the comfort of a beautiful woman. Got it. So now he's apparently going to be on tape talking to his attorney about paying off some, you know, Playboy model. Well, okay. How that changes everything, how exactly?
And it doesn't seem like there's anything bad on the tape. I mean, it was clearly discussed at some level, but it seems to be that the Trump administration is responsible for making it public at this point. Like, you can say, like, well, they're trying to get out ahead of it, but, like, I think they think it's actually good for them. The way, you know, because he's talking about it and he's not like embracing it. I mean, the rumors are, no one's heard the tape yet, but, you know, the rumors are that it doesn't make it seem like he really had that much interest in it. It doesn't seem like it was a big part of his, you know, it's a 2-minute conversation. Only a slight part of it is about this.
And the press is going to go crazy. Yeah. And the press just doesn't, I mean, they're self-destructive. They just don't get it.
What it shows, and I'd love to get Pat's perspective on this, what it shows more than anything is Michael Cohen is the worst lawyer of all time. Mm. How this guy has maintained a high-paying job for anybody for this long. He's recording his clients' private conversations about payments to Playboy models. Like, that is the absolute... And then he keeps them once the guy becomes president? Like, what? This is the worst attorney of all time.
Well, he probably kept them because he could have said attorney-client privilege, and he kept them as an insurance policy.
He probably did, but if it's an insurance policy, you got to stash it somewhere, you know, not in your house that's
you
about to get searched.
You give it to your attorney.
Yeah, and it's kept in, like, cold storage somewhere. Yeah. You know, I mean... It's the worst idea in the world.
And again, it's going to go nowhere.
It's going to go nowhere.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. We already got that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
If they didn't care about Stormy Daniels, they're not going to care about Karen McDougal.
No.
They're not going to care about any of it.
They're not going to care. They're not going to care. And unless you have something...
I don't know about you, but I didn't vote for a pastor in chief.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
All right.
I laid down the hammer right there.
Right. It doesn't matter. Everybody's baked this in. And when you went and bought Donald Trump and took him off and you were looking at the package, you're like, oh, it's got some chemicals in this thing. But you know what? I like the guy in the front of the box and makes me feel good to eat him. And so we did. Mm-hmm. We know. It's like, you know, you went and bought Captain Crunch and the media is saying, I just want you to know, there's a lot of sugar in that cereal. You're like, yeah, I know. I bought it. I kind of like the sugar. I mean, it's ridiculous what they're doing. All right, Pat, what's on your mind today?
This atrocious story from Odessa, Texas, where, of course, we know it's the headquarters of racism. Worldwide.
Well,
it's worldwide
Texas,
capital of racist mm-hmm. racism.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't know that. I hadn't heard that.
Proudly proclaim it with neon signs
really?
When you drive into town.
Really? Okay.
So these people went to dinner at Saltgrass.
When you say these people.
I mean these hateful, nasty, American Texan people.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Okay.
Wearing their hats and their spurs.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's how it works
spurs.
Down there.
No, it does.
It doesn't.
Out there in the backwater area.
By the way,
of
the hats and the spurs are usually now worn by Mexicans.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that? The hat thing is now a big thing. Hats are mainly Mexicans now.
Well, then certainly they didn't have hats on.
They didn't have hats
on.
They didn't have hats on. Okay.
They hate
Mexicans. All right.
Mexicans.
Okay. Well, not all people.
They hate anybody who doesn't look like them.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So they're having dinner. They ring up a $108 tab. Zero out the tip area.
Typical.
And then at the top, write, we don't tip terrorists.
You mean terrorists.
We don't tip terrorist.
That's
weird. Not only are they racist, which, by the way, what race is Muslim? But not only are they racist, but they're illiterate as well. They're stupid.
But hang on just a second. Why did you say they were Muslim? You didn't tell us that in the story. You just
well,
said.
the server was Muslim.
Oh, he is Muslim.
His name is Khalil Cavill. And so I'm sure these hateful people just assumed,
yeah, mm-hmm.
he was Muslim.
They're like, there's a Muslim. Therefore,
right.
mm-hmm. I'm being served by a terrorist.
Served by a terrorist.
Therefore, you'd understand in that circumstance you wouldn't want to tip.
Right.
Because
well,
you wouldn't
you know,
tip
would
Osama bin Laden if
no,
he was bringing you salt grass.
Can I tell you something?
You realize at the end of dinner, Was that Osama who's been serving somewhere?
I don't think we should give him any extra money.
No. I'll pay for the meal, but I'm not going beyond that.
I hate to be a stickler here, but, you know, I am a little black rain cloud at time. Mm-hmm. I think I would say we shouldn't eat this food if I thought they were a terrorist, because, I mean, you don't tip terrorists, but right, you allow but you them to bring you your well, food.
Yeah. It does seem ill advised.
Really, yeah,
it does seem ill advised.
I'd like you to taste it first.
I'm
might
not
be
saying
something.
They were thinking clearly the entire night.
Okay,
just right. at the end.
Just
of
at
it.
The end. Okay.
So, Khalil is hurt.
Mm.
He doesn't understand why anyone would write that about him,
because he thinks he's not a terrorist,
right? He thinks he's not.
Well, and but the white people
if
you
would have talked to
is,
the white people, they would have told him clearly
you're
a Muslim, so you've got to be a terrorist.
Right.
Okay, so I don't think any of that is true.
Well, it's so true that this customer was banned for life from all Saltgrass
restaurants. Oh my gosh, no
all
way.
All of them.
For wow. life from all of them.
Wow, and that's really bad. Mm-hmm.
And the reason we know about this is because there was a social media post, right?
He posted it on Facebook. It went worldwide. People started sending him money.
Get
thank
him.
Goodness, because, yeah. And they felt so bad. I'll tip you $100. So the guy made, you know, some money back. But that doesn't make up for the hurt, the sting, the pain.
The poor grammar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or the poor grammar.
The psoriasis that could happen because of that.
So, as happens in every case, yesterday he admitted, sorry, I made that up. I lied. I'm the one who wrote, we don't tip terrorists. Okay, why? He doesn't know. He made a mistake.
It's a minor mistake. Now, does he get banned from all Saltgrass Grill
locations?
He
was banned from that particular location.
He was
fired.
But not all. Well, you know, when they said they were going to ban them from all Saltgrass, I thought that was a little hasty and a little too much.
Because how could you go through life without going to another
Saltgrass?
You can't make it. So I would just like to say to progressives, wake up. This just doesn't happen.
No.
And every time this receipt thing, some nasty message like, I don't like black people, or go back to
like
Africa,
lesbians,
or I don't like lesbians, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's been a fraud, a hoax, every single time.
Every single time.
Do you not go into this with any degree of skepticism at this point? It's amazing.
It's that. It's the stuff that happens on campus most of the time.
Yeah.
Like when there's like a hate, on a wall.
Right.
It's almost always fake.
Almost always.
Here's the conversation that we should have. Maybe we have this tonight on the news and why it matters. The conversation is, we just said progressives, people, Democrats, people on the left, you have to wake up. This just doesn't happen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And I don't mean that as like, you know, it doesn't matter because they're such hate mongers or whatever. If you believe in postmodernism, which is where we're at now, postmodernism believes it is okay to do these things.
To make this stuff up.
Ends justify the means. Anything that tears apart the Western culture is not a lie, because there is no truth. There is no truth.
Yeah, he said initially he showed the receipt because it proves that this kind of attitude still exists. Well, now what are we supposed to think? How much are you hurting the cause? Because, of course, there's still some racism somewhere. This isn't racism. It would be religious bigotry, I guess. Mm-hmm. But you're really hurting the credibility of anybody who actually has a racist incident happen to him, because nobody buys it anymore.
Anybody,
soon as I saw this story, I thought, no, it's not real.
If you are raped, if you're raped on campus, good luck. Good luck in 5 years getting anybody to listen to you, because of everybody saying he shook my hand. I was raped with his eyes. What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
They're destroying anything. And that is, again, postmodernism. Destruction of everything that is based in reason and truth. You can't build a society like that. You can't.
No.
Also, is self-evident that there is not this big of a problem. Because if there was this big of a problem, you wouldn't need to fake the receipt thing every 2 weeks.
Correct.
You wouldn't
Correct.
Need
it
to
would
fake.
Be there.
Yeah,
right.
it's right. If this attitude was so pervasive, and obviously you're right, there are racists, there are people who are religious bigots across not just Muslims but Jews and every other religion, and it's like, but it is luckily in the United States of America a pretty contained situation. That it does happen. We have to make sure we watch it every time it happens because you don't want it to get out of control, and it's happened throughout history. But the bottom line is, if it was such a big deal, if it was as bad as they claim, they wouldn't need to manufacture evidence to prove it every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And they continually do this.
So listen, here's Nikki Haley. She on Monday was in high school, and she was giving a rally pep talk. I don't know what she was doing in high school, but she was speaking to a group of high school students. And she said, raise your hand if you've ever posted anything online to, quote, unquote, own the libs. Okay. So vast majority raised their hands in response, then erupted in spontaneous applause. She said, stop it. Quote, I know that's fun and it can feel good, but step back and think. What are you accomplishing when you do this? Are you persuading anyone? Who are you persuading? We've all been guilty of it at some point or another, but this kind of speech is not leadership. It is the exact opposite. Real leadership is about persuasion. It's about movement. It's about bringing people around to your point of view, not by shouting them down, not by showing them, but by showing them how it's in their best interest to see things the way they really are. Now, how many of us are following that? I mean, we are all, because it feels good, because when they do this, they've been winning. But I'm telling you, they are beating themselves right now. They're going to lose to themselves. This, I heard Ben Shapiro say the other day, this is not a referendum. 2020 will not be a referendum on Donald Trump, because we've already made up our mind on who Donald Trump is. Everybody has an opinion, and his numbers are not moving. No matter what's said, they don't move. So if everything would stay stable, the economy and everything else stays stable, this won't be a referendum on Donald Trump. This will be a referendum on who is running against Donald Trump.
And the media.
And the media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is going to be. Who's running against Donald Trump? Who do the Democrats put up against him? And what are their policies? Their policies are going to be crazy. They keep going left because they want to activate their base. So they're going further and further left. That is not connecting with the average person. It's scaring the average person to death. The mm-hmm. media is destroying itself. All you have to do is just say, hey, brother, don't go that way. Come here. Come here. Look at this. Look at this. There's a better way. That it's hard to do, but it's the winning strategy in the end. Thank you, Pat. Hey, it's Tuesday. Singing Cowboys are on today.
Yeah.
Yeah, singing.
And the orchestra.
And the orchestra. Oh, Pat Gray and his orchestra with the Singing Cowboys on Tuesday, only on the Blaze Radio Network.
And when you're downloading the news and why it matters and the Glenn Beck program podcast, Pat Gray Unleashed, also available.
On podcast.
On podcast. Get it at iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep. Make sure you rate. Make sure you give a 5-star rating, if you will. It helps other people discover the podcast. So if you would, go and download the podcast at iTunes. All right, Car Shield. You ever taken your car in for an oil change? The mechanic is like, yeah, you know, I found something else. You're hit with a repair bill that you didn't expect. It happens all the time. All the time. It's happened to all of us. I remember I hated the summer, when for most of my life. Because I'd have a car that, you know, was just always breaking down. And when it was hot, they'd always overheat. You can get extended vehicle protection now, like I have, from Car Shield. You don't have to worry about the unexpected surprises. If your car breaks down after the warranty expires, You could be out of pocket for thousands of dollars, and replacing your engine can cost you thousands. Even a simple repair. I brought my car in, my truck in for an oil change. They found a repair, I think it was $6,000. Now, the only reason why I don't know it is because I didn't pay for it. CarShield did. Get CarShield now. Protect yourself. 800-CAR-6100. 800-CAR-6100. Or go to carshield.com and use the promo code Beck. Tonight, 5 o'clock, only on the Blaze TV. We're going to talk a little bit about a possible war that is beginning with Israel and Iran and Syria. We'll talk about that. Also, the life of a millennial. Oh, my goodness. We started it from hour number one. If you missed it, grab the podcast and listen. We have that millennial on with us at 5 today,
Glenn,
on the Blaze
Beck,
TV.
Mercury.